Hey everyone, I'm Scott Brandley.
And I'm Alicia Coakley. Every member of the church has a story to share, one that can instill faith, invite growth, and inspire others.
On today's episode, we're going to hear how one Marine's experience to fight on the side of right helped him to discover his true mission to lead others to Christ. Welcome to Latter-day Lights. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Latter-day Lights. We're so glad you're here with us today. We have a special treat, Devin Cummins. Devin, how are you doing today?
Great, thank you so much for having me. This is a new experience for me. So I right when we were starting, feeling the spirit pretty strong. And so I appreciate this, this opportunity to even be here.
We're really excited. So, and I feel like, for our guests don't probably know the process, but a lot of the times I do a little phone interview before we schedule a guest to come on, just so that we can kind of talk through little bits of the story. I don't ask for all of the details because I do still like to be surprised, but our phone interview, our 15 to 20 minute phone interview was 2 hours. We had so much to talk about. It was so enlightening. And so for all of our guests, I'm sorry, you guys only are going to get Devin for an hour or so, but he has so much good stuff to share. And I'm just super, super excited about whatever's going to come out in this. I think that you have such an incredible story and perspective. And I definitely could feel the spirit the whole time we were talking. And so I'm really, really thankful to you for coming on our show today.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you.
No, so Devin, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about you?
Yeah. We'll be cruising through this. So, which is good. I feel like I'm pretty long winded. I have a lot of tattoos. Actually, this one is actually a tattoo that is responsible for, it's the throat chakra, talking about, speaking authenticity and truth. And most of all my stuff has different significance and things like that. And so I am pretty long winded. So, I grew up in a single parent family home. Not as traditional as today, whereas a lot of times it's the single mother. It was a single father this time. So I had one sister growing up and, we were raised in the church. We went to church, every Sunday. I came into the Aaronic priesthood as a deacon and a teacher, co-president even, where I would help. And then in the priest, I came into being a priest and helping organize and orchestrate the sacrament and making sure everything was very organized and systematic and kind of interesting. I already had a lot of structure going before then, I ended up graduating and going into the military. Something really kind of to note, though, is I was very, very introverted growing up, very, very shy. And I didn't know how to talk to girls because I feel like I didn't really have one to connect with or talk to, a mother figure on a regular basis. She lived out of state and bless her heart. She has her own things that she's dealt with and worried and gone through and things. But it set me off on kind of a unique life where I needed the compassion and the nurturing from my dad. Right. Mm-hmm. And he is, he has a big heart. And he, still a very masculine guy regarding cars and working on those types of things. And we do trips and stuff. And so, loving parents in their own way. Most of the time I was just kind of doing my own thing. I didn't do a lot of one-on-one stuff with him. And then my sister, as a normal sister, didn't want to really have anything to do with me because I'm the annoying little brother. Right. And so, We it was just kind of the three of us growing up. I actually ended up becoming a YEL leader, a military leader in high school, and started to come out of that shell and started to be more motivated on working out. So that way I could actually pick human beings up over my head and balance them. And I ended up doing that into college too for a semester. And so that was kind of cool.
You just picked people up all through college. Just, hey. Can I pick you up?
In cheer, yeah.
What's I guess that is one way to pick up women, right? Quite literally.
and I didn't even have a girlfriend in high school or anything like that. I didn't have anybody, I didn't kiss a girl in high school, none of that. I was really shy still, but yeah, when we're stunting and all that, I'm not I mean, I don't know. That would be really kind of maybe if I could just sort of like, that seems so weird. But what's interesting is most guys that would make fun of me for that, like, they don't realize that when I came into a later career, and we'll like get into that, I actually know how to throw human bodies. So when it comes to protecting other people, I'm really good at utilizing my body weight, and I can throw full grown men.
Holy cow.
And so it's awesome because people would make a joke, oh, you know, where's your skirt and all this stuff? And I'm like, hey, I'm around the most beautiful, cool gals or women, you know, all this. And it's so fun. And I don't know, like, I actually started to really enjoy my life in school. And so it was cool. Nice. So, and that confidence. So something kind of funny though, is people always say like in boot camp, you know, they break you down and they build you up. And I decided to join the Marine Corps at 17 and do like some training in a delayed program. I didn't tell my mom. So they actually knocked on her door and was like, hey, sign here. And she's like, what am I signing? And they're like, oh, your son's joining the Marine Corps. And she calls me crying, you know, and I'm like, you know, I'm like 17. I'm like, eh, you know, I don't know what I'm, but I'll be honest. Like, I was in this program for like 11 months. So right after I graduated high school, I turned 18, and then I went in October to boot camp. And what a culture shock, you know. Here I'm doing rah rah, and it's fun, and it's cool with all these friends, and everybody loves you. Or, you know, to life is a little more on the other side of the coin, preparing you for war. You know,
yeah,
right.
And wow. I did sign up to serve my country, to protect my country, to learn how to be a protector, and to be a leader, and to take this very hard thing and help. Help mold and I guess you could say create a base for where I was going in my life. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of things that I didn't like, for sure. A lot of things that were really hard for me. I got a chance to go to, you know, various countries. I started in reserve and then I got activated. And so I got a chance to train in Japan and Ukraine and Israel. And even in Israel, we were having attacks on us, well, essentially on the Israelis, while we were there in 2007. And then in 2008, at the very end of 2008, we got activated. And so we went to Iraq in 2009. And we were in Operation Iraqi Freedom, and essentially there as a peacekeeping mission, but sure enough, there's still stuff. There's mortar attacks, there's small arm fires, there's hostile environments all over the place. And, you know, but that's the way of life. Like, that's how it is. And that's what you kind of accept. And so I guess to fast forward, I didn't know once I got out what specifically I wanted to do. I have a connection with like the youth and children and looking after them and teaching. And so I decided, I was like, I'm either going to be and a protector. So I'm like, should I be a cop or be like an elementary teacher? Cause I don't know if I could do the junior high thing or the high school thing. Right.
I was gonna say both are really dangerous.
Yeah.
Your life is in jeopardy either way.
Yeah, it takes a certain level of caliber in order to do either career.
Right? Yeah, both of them are going to try your patience for sure.
For sure, for sure.
But So I honestly didn't know what direction to take. And during this time, you know, I've always been a person of prayer. I pray before I eat. I pray before I drive. I pray before I sleep. I try to stay connected, and I try to listen to the Spirit on direction and what feels well and what feels like where I'm supposed to go and what I'm supposed to do. And I know we have different things personally with what we feel and how that relates to us on a personal level. Sometimes we think it's maybe our thoughts, maybe it's the Spirit. And so I try to be in tune of what is what. And I had a lot of good times with like my brothers in the military, and a lot of good people, and a lot of rough situations too, regarding the dynamics, the things we went through. And I don't want to make this whole podcast about like all the different experiences with that, because I want to move to like where things are headed now with things. Mm-hmm. But I've got to say, I didn't know what direction to go professionally. And so I was working for the state of Utah at the same time as working contracted federal security, at the same time working as a bouncer on the weekends. And it was burning me out. And I was actually trying to prepare myself to go to the temple with my kid's mom, my wife at the time, that we had not been sealed yet. So we were looking towards doing that. And I thought that maybe bouncing in an environment of everything that a bar, club, and everything entails wasn't very conducive to my relationship. And so we went through that. We went on track with that. And from there, I ended up having one of the most, one of the biggest blessings I could have experienced. I, first of all, not only started paying like tithing, full tithing, right before, in this summer, but that fall I quit the bouncing job. And so here I'm having two financial avenues kind of mm-hmm. go essentially. Right. And yet the month after I quit the bouncing job, I got offered a career position possibly in the federal government. And so I couldn't believe it. I was so excited. I was just ecstatic. And it wasn't until the following March that I pumped out to the academy out in Georgia. They have a federal law enforcement academy out there, and let the games begin. And the agency was kind of a paramilitary type agency. You know, I went through the academy. I had to go back for all sorts of different classes and trainings, and they made me an instructor with defensive tactics and with firearms and with taser and with use of force. And then they sent me back again to become an instructor for the security officers for processing security through federal properties, like, you know, whatever federal agency, whether it's a federal building or the IRS or the Social Security or something like that. And so I was pretty busy. Our agency, we essentially would do deployments at times. Not, this wasn't like a regular thing, but we'd go to maybe when they were doing a border surge up by the south border, when they had civil unrest, like in you know, Portland, Oregon, right. Hurricane Harvey, things like that.
Right.
And so lots of cool opportunities. And what's unfortunate though is it was really my dream job that really started to become, really even after the first year, very, very difficult. I was one of the youngest guys in the office and in actually our in our whole region. I was the second youngest guy in our whole region, and there was a lot of people, and I felt really kind of like a little out, kind of on my own. I don't know if you want to call it ostracized, but I felt like I was very just kind of my own, felt a little alienated a little bit. And and so that kind of just, you know, one thing after another, one situation after another, one thing after another constantly led to, I started to get really, really, really anxious and really, really, really depressing, because it's almost like marrying the person of your dreams. And then it just turns into this really not what you thought. Mm-hmm. And it starts to get really heavy, and you get really lost on what you should do. And so I'd say that I really had my heart broken on that, because I wanted to stay. I thought I was going to be with them forever. I started looking at other agencies. That didn't work out, and I was pretty lost on what to do. I had gotten married again during that time, because not to a second current wife. I had divorced the first, seeing how we don't practice the other stuff right now. No, but essentially that had dissolved several years prior, which all has its own stories and things like that. And I was actually looking forward to my future after that with my first divorce. I was going to the temple. I was in a good place. So I know a lot of people mm-hmm. fall apart after these things. I was actually in a really good place. And so I'm now coming out of this, you know, I leave my career the spring of 2020. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no idea. I just know if I stay, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here. Mm-hmm. And I mean, period. And it was getting that hard. And wow. And so I but I had to leave. And so of course that's going to put some stress and strain on a marriage. And it did. And so her and I ended up having kind of a declining marriage. She went out of town for a while she was visiting her own home country for a little bit. And I ended up getting COVID. So I leave my career. I'm having a declining marriage. I get COVID and it's really rough. She's out of the country and she comes back and we finalize a divorce. And so it was the fall. That was like, you know, come December. And so she's gone and it's February. And it was 4 years ago around this time. And I didn't know why I was still here. I didn't know. I don't have my career. I don't have this purpose. I'm not in the military. I'm not in law enforcement. I'm not in anything. What am I a part of? Right. And I said a prayer and I was actually sitting against my wall next to the bathroom and I thought maybe today was the day. I thought maybe after realizing there's nothing here for me and I have two children and yet I've been told many at different times that what they think of me, which isn't too much. And sometimes, you know, you go in your head and think that it might be better if you just weren't here anymore. You know, yeah. You don't have purpose. Like no one wants you here, you know, no connection or closeness with any family. So why not help God out? And I didn't want to do something out of just anger and I'm mad. It's more of, I'm sad that I've got nothing to give here. And I don't have any purpose here.
Right.
So this is what's interesting. I said a prayer and I said, Heavenly Father, please give me a sign that I'm done here. And I had my eye on my safe beforehand and I don't, you know, I keep what I need to in there. And I said, give me a sign that I'm done here. And I'll help make this come to fruition. And I didn't know how much guts I was going to have or whatever to keep moving forward with this. But I knew that in the mindset I was in, I didn't see anything on the other side of this wall. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted a sign that he gave me the green light that I was done here and I was going to help that. Wow. And I got a text message right after my prayer. And it was my bishop that I've never texted before. And he's like, hey, are you doing okay?
Wow.
And I'm like, I'm not doing so good right now. And I didn't know what to say to him. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to get some guys over and I'm going to come over and we're going to hang out with you for a minute. And he did. And they gave me a blessing and trying to give me some comfort and they hung out and those things that were occupying my system had gone.
Wow.
And, I tell you what though, it has been a journey since. And I have been taken care of full 100%, full, I don't even know the word for it, completely. And so, very blessed and fortunate. What's interesting is regardless of my where I've been in life, there's like God's in everything. And I think that's something that I feel like it's been coming into me a lot over the last few months, which is really interesting because of like how old I think I am. Maybe I should have figured this out before, but people ask the question, if they're so good or if God's so good, why do bad things happen? And, you know, this happened to this person. Like, how can God allow that?
Right.
And here's the thing. I would put my life on it that God completely hates the horrible things that happens to his children, whether they're kids or they're adults or whatever the case, whoever the case. But he also allows agency. And that's one thing that keeps him in the position that he's in, is he allows agency, meaning if somebody has the inclination to do something bad, he doesn't fly down here and put his hand up. What he does is he utilizes the Holy Ghost to influence others to be that sword and to be that shield. And if you don't heed to those promptings, then he also can't do what he's doing, right?
Right.
And so do great people die? Yes. Do great people get hurt? Yes. But, you know, we also have a tremendous amount of technology for health stuff, but God's not going to say, if you, I'm going to stop you from eating this. He says you should, you know, eat things sparingly and take care of your body and things like that. But if you decide to ignore that and then you do these other things and get heart disease or diabetes and they die, it's like, but that person was a good person and they died. It's like they also had their free agency to. Mm-hmm. Now, do some people have like chronic stuff that happened hereditarily? Sure. And a lot of these things were, I believe, because we navigated away from taking care of ourselves in whatever level, mental, physical, spiritual ways, yeah, that have kind of derailed us a bit from that closeness of wellness, I guess you could, mm-hmm, say. And so there's probably a lot that maybe would not agree with me, but
you know, it's funny because I was actually just talking to my husband about this a couple hours ago about the whole, like you were saying, like, why would God allow so much bad stuff? And I think that sometimes too, it's like he wants to see if we're going to use our agency to become better, right? Like not that he needs to, because he knows everything that's going to happen, but he wants us to see how we use that agency. And so if you didn't have the bad, if you didn't have these horrible things happening, you wouldn't also be able to see these great examples of people either. You wouldn't get to see the great examples of sacrifice and of perseverance and of love and of, you know, like that immense amount of protection that's given and safety and security and things like that. And so I think that, you know, it's not even that he's making these things happen, maybe not even allowing, he just knows so much more than we do. Right. But I just think it's one of those things, like, we don't know everything. We only know how we feel about the information we have, but the information we have is so limited that if we had more, maybe we would understand God more and maybe we'd understand why these bad things happen more. But I love that you were that person that kind of took that agency and you were like, what can I do for good? Like, if the bad's going to be there, how can I fight that bad off? You know, whether it's working with the Marines, going into the military or the government and things like that. Like, it definitely seems like you are at heart a protector and a server. And so I guess, yeah, I'm going to just turn it back over to you. Yeah.
So I have a thought on that too. I think a lot of it also comes to put down to perspective, because in our perspective, we have 100 years, right, to live or whatever. But in God's perspective, we have eternity.
Right.
So if bad things happen to good people, mm-hmm, in his perspective, it's just that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, but to us, it's like, oh, our child was killed, or our husband or a friend were killed and their life was shortened. But in eternal perspective, it's just a blink.
You know, that brings up a really good point. So I have 2 children, and we were actually supposed to have our third, back when I was still married the first time. And, little dude didn't make it all the way. And we ended up having a little burial service, and, I didn't know how to think about it. I was really confused. That was a new emotion I hadn't really had before, right? Mm-hmm. 'Cause I'd never like lost a kid. And though he didn't make it full term, it was enough that we had like a little box for him and put little, so, wow, sorry. So we buried him, and what's interesting is, like, it wasn't until like after the fact that when I was like in the store, I would just have like these come aparts and couldn't understand what was going on with me. And what the perspective was is something that you had mentioned, Scott, is it wasn't until 3 months later that we discussed having a divorce. And it made me wonder that maybe the little guy needed to just get a body, and he was just, that's it. He, this pure little soul, just needed to get a body, didn't need to go through this soup sandwich that it feels like sometimes. this test and just continue on to the next stage of what's to come. And he's, you know, and I was, we had been sealed by then. So we have, you know, three sealed us but that perspective of, you know what, we were on the cusp of a divorce, and how would have that have been for him to experience that at, I think he would be about, he'd be about 10 right now, and, or nine, and nine or 10. Yeah. Wow. But I don't know. I don't know what God has for him, but I never was like, why God, why? I'm like, I just don't understand it. I really tried to get in the mode of not saying why God or why me. I'm always like, can you just help me like to endure this? Can you help me like have the strength to like, right?
Right.
To do this? Cause I don't think of him as like a spiteful God. I know that people get angry at him or they, and I'm not going to knock people that do that. I think that they just don't get it. And I'm not saying I'm the omniscient one by far, but I am saying that if it was a spiteful God, I could blame him, but I don't think he is. I believe that he's a loving God. Mm-hmm. Enough that I read a scripture. I've been reading my scriptures pretty religiously, but I've been reading them every night, or either the day or the night, but every day for the last 2 months. And there was a part that had mentioned, don't you think, and I think this was in Romans, if God can give his own son, he loves you so much that he gives literally his own son to die, don't you think that he would be happy to give you anything else? Obviously, if it's according to his will.
Yeah.
Like sometimes we think of a lack of abundance, right? Or we think of like, I don't know, I don't think there's enough of this, and I don't think I'll be able to survive that, or I don't have enough money for this. And it's like, I think instead of focusing on all these things that could be, just like redirect to him, because he knows better than all of us of what we need and what we want too. He knows that we have wants. Wants aren't bad. You know, he talked about the tree of life in Genesis 2, and he said that it was pleasing to the eye. Like, he could have made it look terrible with great-tasting fruit. You know what I mean? Like, the tree of knowledge of the tree of life, he could make that look terrible, but he creates things of beauty. He wants things to be pleasing for us because it's just how he is. He's about love and abundance, and I truly believe he wants us to be, I mean, men are that they might have joy, right? And Adam mm-hmm. felt that men might be that they might have joy. And one of my biggest flaws is I carry around everything bad and that the things that I've said and done, and I just put it in a big bag and carry it around with me. And it's like no way to live. No, trust me. And I'm trying to give that bag to Christ. I'm trying to respectfully, because I'm like, I mean, here he's this amazing man that wants nothing but to love us and to bring us closer to him and his father. And I'm like, hey, you see everything that I don't ever want to look at? Can you hold it?
Right.
You know, like, would you do something with it? Like,
yeah.
I don't want to be disrespectful. So I'm trying to get out of that mindset of like, no, really, that's what he's here for. He is that transition from this mortal, literally from, he went through the resurrection from mortal to immortal to eternal life. He wants us to have that same transition. The only way to do that is through Christ. And so let the games begin. So last year I decided to go on a tour through Asia, and I went to 8 countries in about 3 months, traveling the world just by myself. And I was making so many cool connections. And what's interesting is there was a very heavy theme with where I kept ending up. And while I was in each country, if I was not traveling directly on a Sunday, I would be looking for a ward near me. So here I'm on the record locator and I'm like, you know, trying to map out the stuff. And what's interesting is I was finding wards, not only wards, but I was accidentally running into temples, our temples. And because there's temples all over the place in Asia, especially Thailand, beautiful. But there's temples everywhere, right? But our temples is a little more less common, right?
Right.
And where I ended up on this little trip where I met this guy, while it was like a trip within a trip, you know, here I'm in the Philippines and I'm doing this little trip within it. And it was this really spiritual, special experience where I, no joke, was listening to like God of Wonders and was taking pictures of this church. And as I passed, it was like Lord of Heaven on Earth. And no joke, the picture that was captured was this church and this top of it was Christ, Lord of Heaven and Earth. And I'm like looking at it and I ran into like this homeless guy and how he gave me like a rosary with a little note thanking me for like getting him water. Like I had helped him with something that he saw kindness, and kindness is a universal language. Mm-hmm. Animals understand it. People understand it. Right.
Yeah.
And then this guy's giving me like a rosary and like a note saying, thank you, brother. Like okay. So as I'm moving along though, I end up in Thailand, and I go up this really cool mountain, and it's winding roads, and I'm going up to this golden temple, and I have a picture in one of the long ones I sent, and it's beautiful. I mean, like, this is wild. And unfortunately, the clouds are coming in, and so I decide I am going to go down because I don't want to get caught in a rainstorm because I'm renting a motorcycle, like a motor scooter.
Right.
The thing is with this road though, there's oil on the road. And so rain and oil have a bad mixture with vehicles. And so sure enough, I ended up coming down this road and it starts to rain and it's zigzagging. And as I'm going, I pass around this truck and dump the bike. And the bike goes flying and it's sliding and it hits the guardrail and it smashes under the guardrail. And I'm flying down the road. My head hits the ground. The helmet goes flying. It's chewing up my pants. It's chewing up my hand. I'm still going. And then I hit the guardrail with my foot, bounce off and spin out. And, oh gosh. And it was right in front of a truck that picks up people to put the bikes in the back of the truck to transport them down the mountain.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So they pull over and three of them get out and start working on unwedging my jacked up, bent framed motorbike into the back of their truck to then transport me back to the rental place.
Wow.
And I'm chewed up. My headphone had like popped out of my ear, you know, but all I had was a chewed up hand. And it's very pretty now. And yeah. This thing, I had skin flapping off it. Like it was rough. And when I got back, they ended up giving me, I was like, I need to clean this thing out. This needs to get cleaned out. And the rental, she did not like me very much because I wrecked her bike. Right. And right. So yeah. I'm like, do you have anything to clean my wound? And so she said, yeah, here, and gives me a spray bottle of alcohol, just straight rubbing alcohol. And I've had a lot of pains in my life, but I think that's top tier. Like that's like in congruence.
Really?
With it was
worse than the tattoos and all the things.
I would say I would take tattooing my throat and everything else over that any day. I would take tattooing all day versus like that was so. And so what did she say? She's like, I think you need to do it again. And I'm like, she hates me. Yeah. And so I do. I was like, all right, I probably could use some more. And so I did it again. And I just remember it was just so excruciating. And she said, wow, you are a strong person. You should follow your heart. No joke. That was her response. And I thought, even since I've been just piecing that together, and what I pulled from it is that I am willing to go through pain. If it's going to heal me, if it's going to help me, like I'm willing to go through what's, and if I know it's going to hurt, but I'm still going to do it, I think that takes a lot of character. And so this is what's wild on top of that. I'd gone to a different town after that. I took a train, a night train. What's cool is you can sleep on these trains. And so I was in Chiang Mai, Thailand, and I took a train down to Bangkok, Thailand. And it was Sunday. It was coming up on Sunday. I think it was the following day. And I ended up going. I was trying to find the church, the ward near me, and I end up at this church, and they're like, the church is closed. Like we don't hold church in this church. It's actually in the temple building. And he spoke broken English. And I'm like, the temple, okay. Like there's temples everywhere. Maybe he just means like the steeple or. Mm-hmm. So I see these two other guys and I'm like, guys, we're late now. We got to go. Let's go. Like these random dudes that were going to church too from Thailand. I was like, come on guys, let's go. So we're trying to go. And I kind of felt like, I was like, man, these guys are lollygagging. Let's go. Like, and I put up on my Google Maps, LDS temple near me, just in case. And it's 0.1 mile. It says it's around the corner. Mm-hmm. And as I'm walking, I peek around and no joke is the brand new, not even dedicated yet, Bangkok temple. And, cool. And guess where we're holding church? In the temple.
Really?
Yeah. So,
oh my gosh.
So we hold church in the temple, and I end up meeting like these three really cool people. One of them was from, I believe, I think it was either the Philippines, another one from Japan, and another one from a country in Africa. And really cool people. And they just kind of show me around the town and stuff. It was my first night there, and just really good people. But I didn't know that the temple was right there. And, you know, what was interesting is my next stop was Vietnam. And if you look on the record locator, there's only four wards in northern Vietnam, the entire country. Mm-hmm. There's only four in Hanoi. And I put in my, I got on my stay. I was like, you know what? I'll try to go to a church. And I put in the record locator, churches near me. And there was one a rock's throw from me. There's four in the entire country of northern Vietnam, and it's around the corner from me.
Oh, and wow.
So I go, and these guys are the kindest people. Oh my gosh. Same with the Philippines. Like in the Philippines, they were like, you know, they greet you when you come in. There's like four people on either side. You're like shaking hands with both sides. They're such a loving people, you know, and here I am now in Vietnam, and they're such a strong like community of members. Mm-hmm. So I had this really cool special experience with that. And I got to say, this is one of the most emotional, like kind of takeaways is I got a chance to go to Sapa, which is, it's like, you've seen like those layered rice fields in mm-hmm. Vietnam. So this place it's incredible. It's a whole other world. And when you go there, you can have guides and people that take you on treks around it. And, after, you know, my initial place in Hanoi, you know, I was checking out some other places, beautiful places, and I end up in Sapa, and we are to meet at this, it's the Notre Dame Cathedral there, and all the tourists there and everything. And when you get there and they see, and everywhere I go, I get a lot of attention because of like my stature, my tattoos, I'm American, you know, and I think they see, you know, white guy with tattoos, money, buy our stuff, right?
Right.
But I got flooded with all the kids, all the families, and you know, we're doing pictures and it's so fun. And all these kids want me to buy all their stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I supposed to like Like, I'm just like, okay, you have money. Like, how am I supposed to do this? So I'm like, I'm not buying from anybody. And I'm like, I'm sorry, you guys are so sweet. Like, thank you. Like, and this little girl stays behind, and I end up like, just, hey, you know what? Just have this. And I gave her some money, and I was like, don't tell everybody, just, and she comes back and she gives me this little keychain guy, and he's got brown hair. He's got a little baseball hat, and he's got a satchel with a little heart on it. And everywhere I go, I carry my satchel with my little carbon unicorn, like, icons on them. And I thought that was so sweet. I was like, wow, this is like my little inner child or something. Right. and so while she was hanging out, and actually, I can't remember if some of her other friends were still here, but at least her, I was showing her some of my fun travel pictures. And she saw one of my folders that's labeled spiritual, and on it is the picture of Christ pulling Peter out of the water after Peter, you know, kind of loses his faith temporarily. And she had seen it, and she leaves and goes and gets back one of her friends. And she's like, she's not even talking. She's just like, points to my phone and then looks and then points to the folder. And then finds the picture. It was actually, she pointed to the, so I pulled out my pictures, and she pointed to the picture of Peter getting pulled out of the water by Christ, and then gestures to her friend and points to Peter and points to me. And I was like, holy smokes, man. Like, and I'm like, I guess I kind of do look like Peter a little bit, you know, but what, how symbolic, because in my life I've been in so many places where I feel like I've been drowning and I've been underwater and I've been scared and I've been like unsure of what to do and reaching out my hand to like get this help. And that was really special, you know. It was really, and so as I'm still trekking through, I'll kind of wrap up some of these countries. I don't know if you guys want to do a part two, but I'll wrap through these countries.
I think so.
I end up in South Korea. And so this was like my seventh out of my eight countries. So it went Philippines, Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, Vietnam, South Korea. And then I'll tell you in a second. So so I'm looking for the ward near me. I'm in Seoul, South Korea. And I end up walking past this building, and there's this open door, and I just keep walking past, and it's like, you passed your destination. And I'm like, where's the church? And so I back up, and I look down this corridor of these doors that are open, and in the back is the church, it's that traditional picture of Christ with the red robe that we have in our, and I, right when I see it, I'm like, yep, I'm at the right place. Like, this is the ward. And, so I go inside, and as I'm sitting, we're in our meeting. And, well, I think it was sacrament at the time. And so maybe I shouldn't have done this, but I was like, Seoul, South Korea, LDS temple. And it's like, you're here. And I'm like,
wow,
wait, what? What do you mean? And so we get done with the sacrament, and one of the guys snags me. And I think based on how I look, he's like, you know, trying to like, we were talking about being active in church and things like that. And I kind of felt like he was like on this mission to convert me. And it's like, I have my testimony. Like I have, like, I know I look, I'm not the traditional, right? Right. But I mean, his heart's totally in the right place. But I said, hey, is the temple like on the other side of the building? Are we on property right now? He's like, yeah. Did you want to see it? I'm like, yeah. Mm. Like, so we walk up the stairs and we go out this door, and the door opens up and there's the temple, and there's this missionary building next to it. And it's just, I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, it's just, and I'm thinking, man, like, here I am again. Right. And I ended up, meeting this other guy that said, like, you know, God's aware of what you need right now. Like, he worked with like BYU Pathways. And so he was on mm-hmm. property, and he just started talking to me, and I felt the spirit, and I was like, my gosh, like, he's like, God's aware of what you need. And, you know, a really good connection. So I have my special experience with that, and I move along to my last country, Japan. And this is wild. Okay. Talking about like, kind of like this, like, where this all kind of culminates to, I haven't even gotten to like the crazy weird stuff. So I feel bad because I really want to, because I've gotten into some weird stuff since my trip that is very eye-opening on a spiritual level. Yeah. Right. But I want to finish up on this with Japan is, I was looking for a ward near me, and the one that I was thought that I should go to, it wasn't having good times. Like, it wasn't showing the times available. So I was like, okay, let's try this one. And what's interesting is I went to Japan when I was 19. I turned 19 in Japan at Camp Fuji, Japan, with the mm-hmm. Marines. And so when we had some liberty, we ended up walking around Tokyo and things like that. And we ended up seeing like the LDS temple, and we saw this park, and it was beautiful. And so fast forward the second half of my life, right? 19 years later. And I'm now walking down the street looking for the ward. And as I'm going, the steeple with Moroni, Angel Moroni, emerges. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, and so I stop and I said, I get it. You know, like, I get it. Like, you want me to, you know, of all the wards and all the places and all the, and this is now the third temple I wasn't trying to find. Mm-hmm. And so sure enough, it's like in the visitor center, and I end up going to church in the visitor center, and I get out and I go to the park. And as I'm walking through this beautiful, peaceful, there's like koi in the pond. I mean, it's like this beautiful ambiance. I hear someone calling my name, and I'm like, okay, other than the people I just met in the ward, like, who knows me? I'm in Japan,
yeah. Right?
It's the guy I met in Korea. It's like the guy that like was outside saying like, God knows your needs and things like that. He's like, Devin. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And so we talked about life and the future and even like about the brand and what it represents and things. But it was like, it was something that he had brought up, and he said, he called them, and he brought this up actually in Korea, but he brought up God winks. And God winks are like when you're like, wait a minute. And he's just being like, I got you. Yep. That was me. Yeah. I aligned that. Yep. I put that together, you know, and it was so special. So what's wild is that the hymn that I sang, in Sacrament was hymn number 187 for, God Gave His Only Begotten. I think that's what it's titled. And what's interesting is the police code for, excuse me, I'm not like in all reverence, but for murder is 187. And essentially, we did that to our own Savior, right? Our mankind did that. And as I'm this is all after church, the temple and all this stuff. That night, I'm walking through the night, and I don't know what to do with my time. I'm not sure. I have nothing planned, but I really want the experience. And this father and son stopped me, and they're like, hey, are you a veteran? And I'm like, what is that? I'm like, yeah. And his son was just loves veterans. His son's like in his like mid-20s, and he had kids young and stuff. I'm like, yeah, well, like, you want to come to an onsen with us? It's a little different than American stuff. So if you want, and I'm like, yeah, sure. We go to the onsen, and it's a little uncomfortable because, well, you don't have swimsuits because you don't have nothing, right? And the thing is, it's not taboo for them there. They're not like weird about it. It's just whatever. Like,
right.
And we start preparing, and I notice on his back, he's got tattooed 1-8 heaven. And I'm like, bro, I literally just sang that today, but are you saying like 187? Like, he's like, yeah, like the murder code, because, you know, and like, and Jesus Christ. And I'm like, what? Like, how is this? And he's like, yeah, check this out. And he turns around and shows me across his whole chest is the scripture of Isaiah that talks about spreading your wings and flying in the clouds. And it's just, and I have this little thing over here that I don't know if I should get up and show you, but like, I have the scripture in my house and I'm just thinking, wow, you know, and he's like, read my chest. And, you know, and I'm like reading and I'm like, I'm going to stop there. I'm just going to assume the rest of the scripture.
Right.
but very, very blessed situation. And it wasn't, and we can pause here, but it was only until after my trip to Asia that things ended up taking a flip. And it's very overwhelming. It's hard to talk. I mean, it's weird to talk about, but it's very, it's kind of set me off in a very different trajectory over the last several months. And, I'm actually leaving the country again to 10 of them. And I'll be trying to visit the temple in some of these other countries. And how I've had to prepare and plan these things has taken a tremendous amount of coordination and things, but I'll be leaving in 2 days and I want to be guided to how I can help people, what I can do, what my mission is. Mm-hmm. And I'd say right now there's a theme of helping the 2/3 that decided to come down here. I'm trying, if I can inspire them to remember their own value, their own worth, and God's love to be navigated back to Him, then I'm doing something right, because I feel like my purpose here is to bring people closer to God, because we chose that before we came down here. And if I can connect with the world and help with that, then I think I can be happy for when I move to the next stage of this existence. You know?
Wow. Well, I think your experiences are very unique. I mean, your life is very, very unique to how most of the world lives their life. And I think that gives you like we were talking about perspective, right? It gives you a very powerful perspective, especially because you have the gospel in your life. And like you're saying, on that last trip that you took, it was almost like God's like, hey, I have a plan for you. I have something special for you to do. And I love that. I mean, it almost was like he was like beating you over the head with it, right? Like he was like winking a lot.
Yeah.
And
you're like, do you have something in your eye, God? I don't know.
I'm slow. It takes a lot for me. Yeah.
But I just love how you're just like, okay, I'm going to embrace that. And I'm going to move forward and do the best I can to help as many people as I can. I think that's amazing, Devin.
Yeah. I think we're definitely going to have you back on. And I don't know if we need to just coordinate it when you're over in one of the next countries that you're in, or if we have to wait for you to come back. But you do not have a boring experience at all. It is so intriguing. And I can't wait to hear more about your journey and your mission and just all of those other God winks that I have a feeling are coming your way. I think that it's going to be a really, really cool experience. But
absolutely.
Before we go for today, Devin, do you have any last thoughts that you want to leave with our listeners?
I'd say thank you if you've made it this far, because I know I'm long-winded. If we did a part two, I'd be happy to record in one of these countries for sure. That'd be a special thing. And
that would be cool.
Be able to share my testimony out there in another part of the world. But if I'd say that just this last thing is to, if you're trying to figure out why you're here or your purpose, the closer you get to God, the closer you'll find your purpose. So pray about it. And whether or not he puts somebody in your way or this video to remind you, he does have a plan for you individually. And I think that all he wants is for you to be closer to him. And that's what I would leave with you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks, Devin, for being on the show with us, man. We really appreciate your time and your insight and your story. And yeah, it just means a lot. I think it's going to touch a lot of people's lives.
I agree. I have to say, I think the thing that I personally am walking away with most is what you said a little earlier in the show, which is, if I have to hurt in order to heal and to become who I'm supposed to become, bring it on.
That's right.
I love that. I love that so much. I love that attitude and that perspective, just to know that you're really willing to do what it is that needs to get done in order to become who you need to become. So thank you for following your heart and really just doing the things that lead you back to Christ and that help others to be able to see him and know him too. I think you've got some really big missions still to fulfill. So. No pressure or anything.
Right. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks again, Devin. And thank you for everyone tuning in. If you have a story that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear about it. And just go to LatterdayLights.com. And we'd love to have you on the show as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And be sure you guys do that 5-second missionary work. Hit that share button. Let us know what you thought of Devin's, I'm going to say part one, his part one today. and what you're most excited to hear about, you know, and his part two. We would love to be able to get some of his messages and stuff across. And if you guys have an opportunity, go check out Devin. What is your website?
So I started a brand. And I said, well, I would like to maybe create something that could help inspire others. And maybe it can help, you know, help them with certain facets of life. And I could probably talk on this for a while, but I started this unicorn thing, this ideology back in 2016. I wore a shirt with a unicorn on it. And the amount of attention, positive attention it got from this guy wearing unicorns, right? was so positive and so special. And I'm like, there's something to this.
Carbon unicorn. Okay. Go check out the carbon unicorn. See a little bit more about what it's about and see if you guys want to collaborate with Devin and, you know, support the brand and support the mission and all those kind of things. So we are so thankful to you, Devin, again, for sharing your story, for coming on here today. And to our listeners, we appreciate you guys. Until then, until next week, when we have another story, I hope that you guys have a great week and that you're able to be the light and share the light. So we'll talk to everyone later.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.